Well, it certainly seemed like the craziest Waste Management Phoenix Open ever to me. I am welcome into the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I have no idea where to start. I think I'll throw a dart at the board. First off, Jay Randolph Jr. joining me, and that's always an honor. And Jay, what a different Phoenix Open. I kept watching. I thought they were playing on a miniature golf course with windmills and water all over the place.
Yeah, we become so accustomed to the theater that is created, not only at 16, but really throughout the property, and so many people that are, in fact, on site that never even see a golf shot, that, you know, it's part of the story. And it wasn't part of the story necessarily here, except you did have the most fans, even though limited, attend an event so far. So, you know, it was unique. It was a unique golf tournament. You had a lot of guys, a lot of good players in the mix. And we saw Jordan Spieth welcome himself back. But in the end, the man who really welcomed himself back was Brooks Koepka. He took over that sucker late.
And you welcomed yourself to DraftKings. Why don't you tell us about that exciting news?
Well, I'm doing a show with my buddy Ken Iggy Strode called Take It to the Bank. It's a DraftKings preview show, and we also have a DraftKings game. Nobody's going to get wealthy, I don't think. Nobody's going to get hurt, but we're just having a little fun. And you can catch it on my Facebook or on Twitter at STL Golf Geek. And I wish I could say I had Brooks Koepka last week. That was a strong move he made. That shot he hit on 17 was just phenomenal. I mean, you couldn't have hit it better the way he did. And for a guy that we've been wondering about, where's he at, where's he going, as we start to get the season heated up, what a big win for him, Bob.
Well, people probably think, well, that certainly was unusual, but we're not done yet. What about range finders now, Jay?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see the PGA of America announcing at their championships. Now, again, you got to remember, PGA of America. So you're talking about one event for quote-unquote, two events technically for PGA pros, the Ryder Cup and the PGA Championship. I've kind of felt this was coming. I don't think it will lessen what caddies do or the need for what caddies do. I think there'll be some guys, Bob, that don't even mess with it. And there'll be other guys that use it religiously when they can. But again, it's just PGA of America thus far.
All right. One more little spice to the recipe. What about Annika Sörenstam rejoining the LPGA Tour?
You know, I know her and her husband, Mike. I know Mike better, Mike McGee. She has kept herself in strong physical condition. She's watched her children grow up. She stepped away even somewhat, I mean, not the Ochoa age, but you know, a little early because she wanted to have the family and do some other things. I wouldn't doubt Annika doing anything. She's a driven woman, has always been. I'll never forget meeting her for the first time in 1991 down at Hilton Head when she was playing for Arizona in the women's NCAA championship. You know, they can talk all they want about how things are going great out there and they'll be fine without Mike Wan. Nobody walks into Gateway National in Madison, Illinois and says, did you see the LPGA event? Did you see Lydia Ko? Did you see this girl? I mean, so it's to me, you know, they've got a lot of work still to do. And if Annika can help, great.
Boy, if anybody can help, my sentiments are exactly with you. All right, let's try and get back into some kind of order here for today's show because we got so much to get over. We did mention the name Koepka, unbelievable shot, which you indicated, Mr. Randorph. Let's hear what Brooks Koepka had to say after clinching that victory.
You know, I like the way I finished that off. I hit a lot of quality golf shots down the stretch. I hadn't been in contention in God knows how long. So to actually hit golf shots like I'm accustomed to seeing and when the pressure's on, it's a good feeling. And I miss that pressure. I miss the atmosphere of the fans. And, I mean, my best results have come with fans, so I'm excited to have them back. So there was a period maybe for about 2 months where I just questioned whether I was ever going to be the same, whether I was even going to be somewhat remotely the same golfer that I ever was. My knee was, no matter how much work and pain and I was doing with Derek, my trainer, it just felt like it wasn't progressing. And that's the frustrating part when you feel like it's not going anywhere. You know, we stuck with it. Those dark places, man, a lot of tears, a lot of questioning yourself and in dark places mentally. But you've got to come out of that. And, you know, I spent so much time out in La Jolla with Derek where I kind of used it as a refresher just to kind of reset things. And I'll tell you what, it takes a lot of effort just to get out of those places. I think the lowest moment probably was Memorial. For me, it was. I was in excruciating pain. I was being told that my knee was still the same. The frustration of just trying to play and knowing I'm not myself, knowing I'm not even close to what I'm capable of doing. I can't compete. I'm trying to compete, but I just can't. I can't swing the golf club like I want to. I'm sure it was frustrating for everybody, for Claude, for Ricky. Everybody on my team, I'm sure it was frustrating to watch, but I just didn't want to take the time off. And, you know, I've done that a couple of times where I've tried to play through, but that's just, I guess, the heart. I just don't like to quit and just battle through it. And I figured it would go away, to be honest with you. And I was completely wrong.
Before I get Jay's reaction to what Brooks Koepka had to say, finally, I got something in common with Mr. Koepka. My best rounds are with no fans. I very rarely shoot over 60 without the fans. But did you know that Brooks was going through all of that, Mr. Randorph?
Well, you know, they never got real public with how difficult the situation was. I mean, we talked about it here on the show, how, you know, it was really all quiet on the Western Front. We weren't hearing much about it, so you kind of had to figure it was kind of tough on him. I mean, he makes an instructor change, leaving Claude Harmon. While this is going on, this shows a lot of fortitude. It shows Brooks is going to be with us. His second Phoenix Open win, going to be ready for the World Golf Championship event down in Tampa that they moved from Mexico. So I think that the season looks very bright for a healthy Brooks Koepka. You know, you could almost hear him say, look, without me being healthy, I couldn't be the player that I wanted, and now I'm healthy.
And when he is healthy, he is very formidable.
As good as there are.
That's for sure. What about Xander Schauffele? He keeps knock, knock, knocking on that door, but nobody's opening it.
He is a human ATM machine. He always seems to play well and consistent. Looked like he was probably the guy to win the golf tournament on Sunday heading in, unless you felt bullish about Jordan Spieth. And Koepka kind of took it away from him. He you know, when Koepka makes the eagle on 17, it put Xander had to make three birdies and wasn't able to do it, but another fine finish for him. And I mean, it's the only thing he's missing is getting more victories, and we'll see if they come. But he's as consistent a player on the PGA Tour that there is.
Yeah, you just can't keep finishing that close to the top without finally getting the job done. All right, now the big spotlight. It goes on Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth fans were, you know, overwhelmed with his performance. and you know, but it's a little of the same old thing. He didn't get the job done. Where's Jay Randolph Jr. stand on Jordan Spieth?
You know, I looked at him this week hard for DraftKings, because he's played well on the peninsula. He had the round Saturday. He got back in the heat. It's got to be a weird feeling. But I decided to fade him this week. I'm going to need a little bit more proof. I loved seeing it. But, man, did he make some bombs on Saturday. Now, he was also making bombs and making everything when he was the guy. It was nice to see him back. It has to be the biggest confidence boost he's had in years. So how does he take this success and move forward in the next 2 months? That's going to be the key to see, really, from now until Augusta. How does Jordan take the success that he had, especially Saturday, build that momentum, keep his swing going, and keep that wand going? That's the key. I mean, when you putt like that, you can hit it a lot of different places.
All right, let's give a listen to what Jordan had to say.
You know, I'm only looking forward. I'm only looking at this from a positive angle right now. I really am. I mean, again, it's disappointing to essentially give the, you know, for myself and Xander, what it felt like we, you know, we had an opportunity to get out and just make it a two-man race there on the front nine, and we brought everybody back in. So that part's really frustrating. But shot to shot, progress through the week, looking forward, I think I believe in what I'm doing. A result like this just helps confirm what I was already feeling, and that just moves the needle the right direction.
Let me ask you something. Based on what you had to say just a couple of minutes ago, Jay, if you're contemplating taking a young lady out and you decide not to do it, do you say to her, well, I'm not going to fade you this week?
I just say, I got something else I got to do. I mean, I wanted to, you know, the price of him, Bob, on DraftKings this week is, to me, just too steep for one. I'm not going to say one round, because he did string four together. The worst was the fourth. In the heat. I just think, at least for me, I'd like to see, you know, a couple more top tens. Now, he might go out and win the sucker and hoist the trophy on Sunday at Pebble, and I think that'd be great. It'd be great for our game. People are still very interested in Jordan Spieth, and he still has a strong fan base. And I hope that this just wasn't a flash in the pan, that he has found something and can be very consistent. How about the veteran, Steve Stricker, trying to become the oldest player to win on the PGA Tour? Just saying, yeah, I'm coming out just to see the guys because I'm the captain. Wrong. Stricker tying for fourth with Carlos Ortiz. Really good stuff for Stricker, and a lot of people were making fun. Ironic that he does it in a retirement community, if you will, Phoenix, to play so well.
Well, I sent my donation in to him. I think pretty soon he's going to have enough money to even afford a caddy. Right now, he's still using his wife on the bag. I mean, congratulations, Steve. An amazing performance. Rory in the top 20, John Rahm there. And Jay, please, on behalf of everyone connected with the Grill Room, let's offer condolences for Justin Thomas and the sad news that he was made aware of over the weekend.
Yeah, it's been a rough stretch, if you will, a little bit for JT, obviously, with the incident at Kapalua and some of the repercussions, and then very close with his family, and he put himself in the mix going into the Sunday, shot 72 on Sunday. And, you know, Rory has not won a PGA Tour event since November of 2019. He has not won a major championship since 2014. We talked 2 years ago now about the incredible consistency that he found in a year in which he didn't win a major championship but had a bunch of wins. Then with the COVID year last year, you know, he had some flashes, but not much consistency. Now he's showing consistency, but he's not getting to the winner's circle. So another guy to keep an eye on. And it's only, I mean, John Rahm, you know, if this guy could putt, I mean, watching him on Thursday and Friday, I mean, he left 10 shots on the golf course with his putter. And he still gets frustrated, Bob, but I think he's channeling that frustration and not letting him affect him too much. I mean, a tie for 13th. So it was, as you said, a unique, unusual Phoenix Open, but it was fun to watch.
It really was. And then we had the treat of hopping over to Saudi for the Saudi Invitational. Dustin Johnson earned his money, finished on top in the strong field.
He said as much. He said after the tournament, they paid me a lot of money to come over here. I'm glad I could play so well. Oh, I love the honesty. I mean, who wouldn't want to just go to Saudi Arabia for 6 days and make a couple million? Ninth win in 85 starts on the European Tour, a standard of Justin Rose. And there's Tony Finau finishing second as a great bridesmaid that he's become. You know, DJ just wowed him. And when I saw that he was in the field at Pebble, I'm like, are you kidding me? This guy's going to come from Saudi Arabia to the Monterey Peninsula. Come on. Well, he decided that he would stay away and maybe rest and count his money. But, you know, a lot of money on that European Tour, and that was a good field. And I think that field affected a little bit this week's field. You know, I see a lot of people out there, and we'll talk about it in a moment, but how weak the field is at Pebble. Let me tell you something. The weather there is usually horrific. I believe this year they're only playing two golf courses. There are no AMs. So for a lot of guys, there's no tie-in to play. You got Riviera next week. You had Phoenix the week before. Then you got a World Golf Championship starting the Florida Swing. These guys are independent contractors. They got families. They got kids. They don't mind a day off. Some of them like to play video games. I mean, the complaints by some of the golf fans, hey, if you don't like the official World Golf rankings based on the field, don't watch.
And a lot of guys have females that they opted not to fade, so they have obligations.
Yeah, they got work to do.
Now,
Bob, with all these events and all this dough and all these guys and Saudi Arabia last week, I mean, it amazes me that people are like, oh, I can't believe how bad the field is at Pebble. Well, then you don't know your ass from a hole in the ground.
Yeah. Hey, Jay, somebody also that doesn't know is the person that said, well, the Pebble Beach is going to be better if we don't have amateurs. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me.
Let me tell you, a lot of the guys love the experience of playing with their playing partners, create lifelong friendships with some of those. Some of those become business relationships. If there's one event where they love more so than the hope, being with these guys and being just me and you, not me and three guys like you normally see, that's not the reason. The reason is a lot of things. The scheduling, the weather, the COVID, all the stuff. It'll be okay. Pebble will survive. It should still have Bing's name on it somewhere, but it'll be okay. And they're going to crown a champion on Sunday, and that guy's going to get a bunch of FedEx Cup points, and we'll be okay, and we'll move down the street to Riviera.
All right, let's move on to Annika, Jay. Wrap it up for us.
Well, she's set to play. Originally, some people thought she was going to play as a celeb, but at 50 years, a competitor, it's the first time in 13 years she stepped away from competitive golf. Now, don't think that this lady hadn't been sitting on a range and working with her two kids. Her young children never got to see Annika at the high level. She, to me, and again, I you know, I didn't know. I met Patty Berg and others, and Kathy Whitworth, and, you know, so many great players through the years. But to me, the greatest female golfer of all time is Annika Sorenstam. And, you know, especially in my era. And as I said, anything she can do, her goal now is to benefit the game. And I think her presence will benefit and wants to play in the U.S. Women's Open later this summer. So good luck to her. She's a wonderful lady and a great family. And
how about if I tell you 5 years ago that Tiger Woods, his children, are going to get to watch Tiger win on the PGA Tour, and Annika Sorenstam's children are going to get to watch her win on the LPGA Tour? I guess I wouldn't be faded for sure.
No, you'd have been faded immediately. I'd have thought you were crazy, or crazier, I should say. you know, I think it's awesome. You saw, even though I think some of it's overhyped, and I understand why it gets overhyped when Charlie's out there looking like Tiger and hitting shots and all that. I just don't want these kids overblown and hurt in any way by the fact that they can't control who their pops or moms is. But I think it's awesome. I mean, I think it's fantastic for them and obviously for the kids. So that's great stuff. And as soon as the weather improves or the snow melts, if you're in or around St. Louis, a fun, challenging place to tee it up is My Home Turn, Gateway National Golf Links. Let's tell you a little bit about that and then more on Pebble Beach. Enjoy golf as it was meant to be played at Gateway National Golf Links, a stunning link-style course in the St. Louis area. After all, it is the number one public golf course in St. Louis, and it's the only one with bent grass fairways. Only public course in the region with bent grass fairways. Gateway National offers golfers the rare opportunity to return to the rich traditions of the game with rolling links in the heart of the country. Gentle mounds and plenty of tall grasses, spacious fairways, and of course, when you play number three, well, you just aim for the Gateway Arch. That's right, the iconic St. Louis Arch is right there. Gateway National Golf Links, the number one public golf course in St. Louis and the only one with bent grass, with a friendly staff to make your day a memorable one, to make your tee time the best way and the best rates are online at GatewayNational.com. Gateway National, always in great shape. And remember that website, GatewayNational.com. That's where you'll find the best rates, GatewayNational.com. Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. You can find Mr. Bubka on Twitter at Bob Bubka, V-O-G, that V-O-G appropriately for Voice of Golf. I'm on there at STL Golf Geek on Twitter. And Bob, the 75th anniversary of the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, it dates back to 1947. Normally there's three golf courses. This year it's only two. Normally, you've got the amateurs or a playing partner as an amateur. That's not the case. Canadian Nick Taylor, who waxed them last year, is one of the favorites. I mentioned earlier, the field is not stellar, but you got Cantlay, who's a top 10 resident almost every week. You got Casey, who won recently overseas. You got Daniel Berger. You got Mickelson. You got Francesco Molinari. You got Spieth off of last week. You got Ricky Fowler. And a guy to watch out for, Will Zalatoris. Now, people are starting to learn more about him. He's got that special temporary membership on the PGA Tour. He's moved up to 49th in the world rankings. Grew up in Frisco. Grandparents lived out there. He loves it. He got a sponsor's exemption 2 years ago at this event before he was, you know, even anybody knew him, and he made the cut. So keep an eye on him. And you got a lot of guys that you normally don't see. I mean, Matt Gogel got in the field. They almost got to me.
You'd be desperate, but who knows? In this wacky world, hey, good luck, Matt. You're doing a great job as an announcer. Why not bring it home on the golf course? Absolutely incredible. How about some of the over 50 boys in the field? David Duval, Tom Lehman, Stuart Sink, KJ Choi, Jim Furyk. Wait a minute, my muscles are rusting. John Daly.
Let me tell you something. I think there's an outside shot between Tommy Lehman, Stu Sink, Jim Furyk, Mickelson, and Harrington that Harrington had to withdraw, which is unfortunate because he's been playing much better golf. But I wouldn't rule out a top 10 from Lehman, Sink, or Mickelson, or Furyk. This is, you don't have to overpower these golf courses. You got to have some smarts. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it wouldn't surprise me if one of those guys was top 10. I'm not calling for a W, but, this is especially Pebble, you kind of want to know your way around a little bit.
Well, if one of those gets in the top 10, I bestow you a DraftKings living legend out of St. Louis.
Well, this week I mentioned I've got three players in the top 10 on my team. When I say top 10, I mean top 10 in terms of odds to win. Now, when you do that, you've got to find some guys that you think are going to play well. My kind of sleeper is Brian Gay, not just because I love his wife, Kimberly, but because I think that, he got that win in Bermuda at the end of last year. He's always seemingly played well here on the Monterey Peninsula, and a guy that I'm kind of hoping makes the cut and gets me some points. The other thing I've noticed about this tournament, and because of somewhat the difficulty of the golf courses, and in the past they've used three, so it's a little different, is you don't see the points you receive as high because there aren't as many birdies or eagles made. So it's going to be an interesting week with a quote-unquote weaker field and just the two golf courses. But I'm looking forward to it, and I'm really looking forward to Riviera next week.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Jay. If our mission was to confuse our listeners, mission accomplished.
Every time I start working on my DraftKings team, I get confused. So they've got it figured out. They know what they're doing. And next week, Bob, we'll talk about the Genesis Invitational where Tiger is host, and maybe we'll get a little update on the progress of Tiger as he hopes to return by Augusta. Thanks for joining us this week. We'll return next week, tell you all about what happened at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, and get you set for the Genesis Invitational.